Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Yes, Another Teen Movie. I think this is episode 32.
Whoa.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Heather, although I'm not sure if you'll know. But
don't know about you. Crazy. I'm feeling 32. Do you know what's funny, Gemma?
When 13 going on 32?
When I think about people, I'm like, whoa, that guy must be like 40. And in my head, that's like 20 years older than me. But then I realize I'm 29, yeah. And I'm like, oh, no, that's... like 40, I'm as close to 40 as I am to 20, so yeah.
I think that's what's scary about turning 30. It's not turning 30 itself that is like scary. It's the fact that like you're as close to 40 as you are to 20.
Yeah.
That's what's scary about it. It's like the next thing is terrifying.
I know. But luckily I have friends who are like 36 now, so they're way, you know.
They're still normal.
They're like, well, I wouldn't say that, no, but what I like about getting older is that you're in it together with your pals. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
all
my good friends have turned 30 this year, so I'm not the oldest, so that's nice. So it's just like, yeah, everyone's getting older. You see someone you know from back in the day, you're like, whoa, they got old. But you probably did too, you know? It's quite nice.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, exactly. They probably think, Heather's a lot more mature now. That's a good thing.
Heather's a lot less annoying and, like, trying to get attention. Also, my boss... made me do a personality test.
Oh, Myers-Briggs.
I don't know, the one, not the colored one, the one where you get like a person, like a type in the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think that's Myers-Briggs.
Oh, whatever. Do you want to guess what my type is?
Hot quarterback?
No.
No, just kidding. I don't know. I don't know all the types.
Oh, well, just say, like what do you think of me?
Extroverted.
Well, yeah, it's the entertainer. Kel Surprise,
that's
everyone.
Classic. That is classic. Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember. They made like the team leads at my old job do that. And yeah, I remember that those specific personalities. I think I was like the
But you know these tests. I'm always like, am I feeling it in how I feel or how people have just told me that I'm like that over the years. Does that make sense?
Well, how much of your personality is real and innate, and how much of it is constructed on what other people have told you? Like, that, in general, like, you just don't, like, I don't think it's possible to even know that.
Well, for a long time, I thought I was super decisive. I thought I was the most decisive person in the world, because my mom is very much indecisive, so when I'm with her when I was a teenager, I'd get annoyed and be like, fine, fuck it, Marga, we're doing this, we're going left. And she'd be like, full in awe of me and making a decision. Turns out I'm fucking as bad as her.
I wouldn't describe you as decisive.
No, not at all. So I was fooled and I thought I had a good memory. Turns out I don't remember anything that Tones told me.
See, there you go. Like, you just, people tell you stuff and you're like, oh yeah, that's what I'm like.
Mm.
But actually, maybe it's not.
Yeah. So, God, what am I surprised I'm going to find out when I'm 40 while all the lies I've been living in my 30s. Am I right? So, yeah.
And people always think that Heather's a sexually promiscuous vegetarian as well. That's just the vibe that she gives off. But neither of those things are true.
That is true. Like, even people that have known me for years are like, oh, do you eat meat? I'm like, yeah, you've seen me eat like a bratwurst.
I've never not eaten meat.
I'm eating a ham sandwich right now. I'm fisting two steaks
it's
in my hand.
In my hand.
my bear. I'm not even...
Heather's a vegetarian. We're going to have to change up the whole menu. No, sorry. I'm almost 90% sure that Heather doesn't eat meat.
Yeah, that and it's I guess it's the hair. I have like messy hair. So I think people like boho. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, in like John Tucker Must Die, the way there's like the overachieving newspaper girl, the one that I said I was, and there's the hot cheerleader, and then there's like the like environmentalist slut.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but yeah.
That's what people think that you are.
Oh, yeah.
And she also has kind of hair similar to yours.
See?
Which I always think is funny.
See?
Yeah.
People just look at me and they go, God, Heather must love tofu and dick. They honestly do. They,
it's your two favorite foods.
At the same time. Yeah, I guess people always assume that I, like, well, I had sex for the first time at the age of 12 or something, which is the opposite is true. So, honestly, people are always like, oh, you must have been right young, like 14. I don't know what it is about me. Maybe because I got...
It's because you're like boy crazy, but not necessarily like sex crazy, you know?
That's a very good description of me.
Okay, I'm glad you weren't offended by that.
I love boys. Ooh, don't come near me with your dick. No.
You're like, I'm going to make a meme of you that's like the Drake meme where he's like, he likes something and then he doesn't like something. Yeah. And it's going to be like, the first one's going to be like boys. And the other one's going to be like sex. And he's going to be like, no.
Ooh, no. When I was in Rome, this guy called me a... You are a Virginia tease. I would like lead all the boys on and be like, guess what? I'm a virgin.
There you go. Yeah, Heather's the kind of girl that Rizzo was singing about in There Are Worse Things I Could Do.
That's me. That's me, yeah.
Yeah, flirt with all the guys. Smile at them, bat her eyes. Press against them when they dance. Make them think they stand a chance. That was Heather.
That's me. I'm Rizzo. Yeah. Well, I'm glad we've come full circle. Glad we've discussed that as well. I wonder if my mom listens to this episode. She's in for a ride, surprise. I'm not decisive, Mum. Surprise.
I hope everybody enjoyed last week's Grease episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
Yeah, and watching it.
I think that was a very, very fun one. And riding on the wave of that success.
Whoa, a wave. Get it?
Way. Heather and I actually did, that wasn't even intentional, but I make puns even unintentionally.
I hate puns.
I love puns, but we'll beg to differ on that point. Heather and I have picked a rather less classic in age, but I think it's still quite classic to our generation. More wholesome teen movie.
Yeah.
So no teen pregnancy, no smoking, no sexual references.
No sexual references.
No. Sex. This teen movie is pure family fun.
Oh man, it's good.
And usually I'm not that big of a fan of those kind of movies, but this is just, I don't know. It's just such a great story.
It's just so fun. So we're doing Aquamarine, surprise. You've seen it in the title.
You've seen the title.
And I don't think it's that much of a well-known film. Like,
no, I don't think it is either.
I watched it with my friend Fanny, who is like, as much of it, like, you know, you can reference a Shakira video and she'll get the reference. Does that make sense that I'm describing
our kind of lady?
She's our kind of lady, down to a T. So yeah. She'd never seen it. So it was her first time viewing. And she's, same age as me. So I was amazed because I thought everyone had watched it, but clearly not. At least like the diehards, you know?
Yeah, of course. I think it's kind of a if you know, you know film. Like real heads know.
They're like, I liked Aquamarine before it was cool. I've seen JoJo, all JoJo's work.
So before we start this, I have a really, really funny story to tell. And I'm not sure. I'm already laughing, so I really hope that I'm going to be able to get through this story. So Heather watched this with her friend Fanny. I watched it with my usual teen movie watching partner, my boyfriend Ali. And when I told him that we were going to do Aquamarine, he was like, oh yeah, the film with JoJo and Emma Roberts, the like teen mermaid film. And I was like, yeah, I can't believe you've seen it. And he was like, well, I haven't actually seen it, but I've read the book. And I was like, oh, okay. That's like a funny book for you to read growing up as a teen boy. And he was like, well, I kind of read it by accident. So basically, he was like, actually, I read it when I was 22. I was like,
what?
Okay. So when Ali was doing his master's at Manchester, they did like this module called like American romance or something like that, like how romance is depicted in like American films and books, like popular culture. And a lot of the reading list was very like avant-garde and like a bit out there and not like a normal college reading list. And the lecturer prescribed this book called Aquamarine. And Ali went online and Googled Aquamarine, and the first book that came up was like the book of the film, of the mermaid story between Emma Roberts and JoJo. Uh-huh. So he bought it and read it and was like, this is kind of weird that she said this, but she's kind of weird, so I'm just going to go with it. And then they went to class and she was like, what were other people's impressions of the book? And Ali made up all this like wanky shit talking about how like the female subtext was like it was like a metaphor for like lesbian love and like all this stuff. And everyone was like, wait, what? There's a mermaid in your book. And it was this complete other book that's also called Aquamarine.
Oh my God. That is really funny.
Isn't it? He read the whole thing and was like, okay.
It's funny.
I'll make something out of this.
It's funny. He's not like, surely I must have gotten the wrong book. He's like, well, no, whatever.
That like never entered his head.
Throw with the punches. Go with the punches. That's funny. Has he got his critique of it written down somewhere? Because I'd love to hear it.
I wish that he did, but we did, like, as we went through the film, he did tell me bits, like, oh yeah, for this part, I said, like, it's about this, and, like, that there's this metaphor, and that, like, this is the subtext, and I was like, this is just, like, proof that, like, English students can just, like, make up a load of bullshit about anything, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole degree.
But he said he thought it was a really sweet story, and he was happy to watch the film.
Oh, bless your cotton socks, Ali, you bring us joy. Oh, every time and time again. Wow. Oh, God. Well, now I'm going to feel like silly that my critique is so basic and like not.
I know.
Like,
yeah, we should have got Ali on as a guest actually to explain the hidden meanings behind many of the film's
moments.
Yeah,
I just wrote down stuff like they're so squealy. That's about my critique.
They really are.
Oh my God. And Fanny was like, I was like, my God, they scream.
And Raymond
so...
is such a doofus. Oh,
I wrote down doofus, the exact word doofus. He is a doofus, but he's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
But Fanny, I was like saying to, I was like, God, they scream so much. And it's like, yeah, but they're teen girls. I was like, I did not scream that much as a teen girl. Did you, Gemma? I wasn't that squealy.
I think so.
She's like,
I think I probably did.
Yeah, I didn't know when to scream or squeal with.
But I'm still a squealer to this day.
Are you a squealer? We've never squealed together, have we, surely?
I squeal when I see a cute animal, and I squeal when, maybe I'm not. Maybe it's just one of those things. I think I am,
exactly.
But I'm not.
People
like,
told you.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
You think you're a squealer, but you're just dead silent.
I'm just a normal, quiet, introverted girl.
Reading my book, Aquamarine. Yeah, so they scream so much, and, yeah, but it's a delight, this movie, because I think Jojo really wears this film. Like, Jojo makes it.
Oh, yeah, Jojo fucking
Emma Roberts is shit
film.
In this film. She really isn't up to her wild child levels yet, eh? She really isn't.
I mean, whether Emma Roberts has ever been a good actress is debatable, but she's definitely a lot better in Wild Child than she is in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's weird, like, they're so, so young. They're almost, like, I didn't know until, like, the other night that JoJo was only 13.
How did you not know this? Because I was 13 when that came out, and I was like, right, that's it. I'm never going to achieve this. Like, I've been surpassed.
And apparently she had never even kissed a boy.
When she sang
And she was singing that song about, like, a guy cheating on you and you throwing him out of your house.
Yeah, God, JoJo. She brought out an album a few years ago, and it was really good. I have a lot of love for JoJo. Like, Too Little Too Late,
love.
Really
One
good.
Love.
That song with Lil Bow Wow.
Her cover of Marvin's Room by Drake, amazing.
Yeah, she's unreal. Love JoJo.
Yeah.
Come on the pod,
she's
JoJo.
Good.
Joanna.
Yeah, JoJo, if you're listening.
Imagine if she listened. Wow.
So they're like young teens.
They're like,
I think they're meant to be like 13 or something.
They go into 8th grade, and I still, after doing this podcast for so long, watching so many American movies, I still haven't bothered to look up the American school system.
So I think that that's 13, like, going into being 14, I think.
That American school system confuses me, because you have, like,
really
primary
know.
School, and then you go... But so does Britain, actually.
Then you have middle school.
Yeah, what the fuck is middle school about? Is that a different school? Weird.
So I think it can be, yeah. Like, I think it's, like, middle school is where you go between, like, 11 and 14, I think. I think it's, like,
Strange.
3 years, and then you go to high school.
But we in Holland, we have primary school, high school, end. Then you
Yeah. Don't overcomplicate it.
No.
No need to muddy the waters.
No. In Italy, they have such a fucking weird system as well. I never understood that. It was, like, yeah, it's different schools you go to between high school. Bizarre. What's that about?
I mean, here they have, like, sixth form, which can be, like, a different school if you don't go to your own secondary school for, like, the final 2 years of school.
That's weird
but
as well.
You probably knew that already, yeah.
I kind of knew that, but, yeah. Oh, well. Okay, so, Aquamarine, JoJo, unreal, Emma Roberts, shit, but charming because she's, like, 12.
What about her, the mermaid?
She's good.
Yeah, she's good. She was like a thing for a hot minute. And now where is she? Yeah, I remember she had this like show on like Nickelodeon or something called like Darcy's Wild Adventure. Mm. Do you remember that
vaguely,
show?
It was
like, I think it was about like a posh girl, like kind of like Emma Roberts' character in Wild Child, like Miami Princess. You had to go and live on a farm?
This is around like The Simple Lifetime.
Oh, yeah, but it was fictional. Yeah, between 2004 and 2006.
Oh, yeah, that's prime. So this is...
That is back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Malibu. Oh, my God, I was right. Wow. yeah, and then they go and live on, like a farm or some shit. Yeah, but I remember, like, she was starring in a lot of those types of things at that time, and then she just got, like, you know, as it happens, just became relegated to early noughties teen star. And now what's she up to?
Well,
I don't know.
I googled the guy. I never google people, because finally googled him. The doofus Raymond, he's in quite a lot of cool stuff.
He's in Lady Bird.
Who was he in Lady Bird?
Did you see that?
No.
He's the teacher.
Is he?
Yeah, he's like Mr. Bruno, her teacher. So like, I was looking at him up after the film as well, and like, I saw this Letterboxd review that was like, watched Aquamarine with my sister like for the first time, and she turned to me and was like, I think that guy's Mr. Bruno from Lady Bird. And the girl was like, no fucking way is it.
Yeah, he's way too young. And then, oh wait, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone can make that connection. You'd have to have such good facial recall.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is him.
Whoa, he's also in like What We Do in the Shadows, that show about vampires.
Oh, is he the werewolf?
I don't know, I didn't watch it, but Fanny said it's really good, funny.
Oh, okay.
So
I've seen the film, not the show.
I've seen the film, not the show, good. Yeah. So he got on in life. And we googled the creepy guy. He was in a lot of movies. Leonard.
Oh yeah. He looks familiar. I feel like he plays the same character in a lot of different films.
He's in like The Matrix, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, all these films. But I guess he's not a prominent role in them. But still, good for you.
Yeah, good for you, Leonard.
Yeah.
I liked Leonard.
Okay,
he was the classic, like, you know, seems lurchy like a creep, turns out to have a... Yeah, yeah, like a lurch. Yeah, exactly. The guy, yeah, or like a Boo Radley.
Yeah. So, let's get into this plot, because...
It's been 17 minutes.
Just, like, talking about the actors. So Jojo, so I forgot their names. My God, I'm sorry. I should have looked up their name. What are their names,
So
Gemma?
Emma Roberts' name is... Claire, and Jojo's name is Haley.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Claire and Haley, best friends. Haley's mom is like a marine biologist, moves around a lot. So Haley, they're in Florida.
Yeah.
They make Florida look nice in this movie. Normally Florida
they
is
sure
like,
do.
Oop, I don't want to go to Florida. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it looks more like a little like cutesy like boutique-y beach in like Maine or something for rich people. It doesn't look like trashy Florida beach.
Sorry for the Florida listeners out
sorry
there.
I'm sorry, I've been to Florida.
I'm
not just talking
Florida.
Out of like just not knowing anything. Anyway, they're best friends. Claire's parents are dead parents alert.
They drowned.
They drowned,
so that's why she's scared of water.
Yes, and that's a recurring thing throughout the whole film.
Yeah, which goes out the window in like 1 second, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, according to Ali, that symbolizes her fear of, like, losing control.
Oh, that's quite a good reading of it.
Claire and Haley they
fancy this, like, doofus lifeguard, Raymond.
Yeah, they're obsessed with this guy, Raymond. The film kind of opens with them lying
spying
on the beach
on
behind
him.
An umbrella, spying on him. And squealing a lot.
So much squealing. Little piggies.
So much squealing. He's kind of like a classic, like, hot surfer dude, but not really.
No,
like, he kind of has, like,
there.
A doofus look about him.
Yeah, he's like a Diet Coke compared to an actual... Well, like, not a Diet Coke, like a Pepsi. He's a Pepsi lifeguard.
Exactly, yeah. He's, like, not what you really, really want,
no.
But he's, like, pretty close to it.
If you grew up in a shit town and all the guys were horrible looking, you'd go for him.
Oh my God, yeah.
If he lived in Pimmeran between 2000 and 2008, then I would have gone for him. You know, because he was the best of that bunch. But Did you also, when I was a teen, yeah, I had such a thing for surfer dudes. Whereas now I'm like, oh my God, yeah. What? Like, why? Is that like spoon fed to me? I'm not a sporty girl. I don't want to surf. I don't want to sit on the beach on my own while they surf. What the fuck?
I think that was just spoon fed to you by popular culture, yeah. And I think there was a certain, like, a lot of girls in my school were like super into surfer dudes, but I was always more kind of into like a band guy.
But that's like the diagram. That's just kind of the same type. The same caliber.
Kind of. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Same caliber. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they have different aesthetics.
True. I once said when I was 15, I can't believe I said this and I'm repeating this. I said, my boyfriend needs to do something on a board, whether like a surfboard, a snowboard, or a skateboard.
Now that is a line from a teen movie.
But then I never...
That is so funny. Yeah. Right, skateboarders, snowboarders, or are surfers. You listening? Are you listening up? Heather needs you.
Tones of skateboarders. I did it. Fucking 15 years later, I did it. So
wow, well done. Finally. Congratulations.
Yeah, so many little in between, but I did it, yes. So future, past Heather, if you're listening, you'll be okay. Stick with it. Don't have sex with anyone.
No, be sexless like this film. So they're lying there giggling about Raymond, and then the mean girl shows up, who is the newspaper overachiever from John Tucker Must Die that I just mentioned. Mm. And yeah, what does she do? Like embarrass them or something?
But so I've seen this film a few years ago when me and my friend Caitlin stayed up all night. We didn't sleep, and then we watched this movie. So a bit of a delirious state. But I remember thinking then, why is this 18-year-old girl bullying 12-year-olds?
I know. So she like has a car, is way older than
way
them,
older.
It's like you would not even like, you wouldn't even talk to like 12-year-old. No. Like they, like she treats them like they're her worst enemies.
Yeah.
Also, Ali and I talked about how she is not just a normal mean girl. She's like actually a sociopath.
Why?
Because she like, well, because she kind of, like, tries to kill Akari.
Yeah, she does. No, she tries to get the newspaper stand-in.
Well, she does. I mean, she takes away a ladder. Anyway, we'll get to that bit. She's like, pretty nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's mean. And she's got the hots for Raymond and decides to, like, pester these poor 12-year-olds who only just, like, ogle him. And
yeah,
like
they just got a little crush.
Yeah, they're not doing anything any harm. She's like, ah, what is it? What, she has some amazing disses. It must be so fun.
She's like, Raymond's not going to notice you with all those clothes on or something to JoJo. She always keeps her like her shirt on over her bikini, and then JoJo says something like something to the
at least I don't get skin cancer.
Not a slut. Yeah. Yes, keep your shirt on at the beach because otherwise you're a slut. So yeah, that then what do? Go back to Claire's house for a little slumber party. It's very, very wholesome.
But it's nice though, and Claire's moving. No, Hayley's moving away to Australia. So yeah. This whole film
kids
is,
who move all the time are such a staple of teen movies, aren't they?
Because it's like the worst nightmare when you're insecure and you know
yeah.
Then having to be the new girl everywhere, the new genius, yeah, exactly. Like Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah. I don't want to just come to another school and be the new genius again. Okay, Vanessa Hudgens.
Okay, Gabriella, pipe the fuck down. Get you and your caprice out of here. I'm talking about funny is the girl who told me about the Simlish songs from Katy Perry and stuff.
Yeah.
And she also showed me someone making Zac Efron singing that song on the golf course in Sim. Like a Sim.
Oh, I've seen that. I've seen that. It's so, so funny. Oh, that's the best song of High School Musical.
It really is. Okay, anyway, moving on. Sorry. Yeah, so Hayley's moving away and they sort of jokingly pray to the gods for a miracle so that she has to stay in Florida, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like ocean gods.
A big storm comes.
Yeah. It's actually a pretty scary scene where there's like huge waves crashing off onto like just outside the house, which freaks the shit out of me. I'm really, really afraid of waves. And then the next morning,
the pool's full of like muck.
The pool's like full up, and Claire falls into it.
God, they're getting so many points for like clumsiness because everyone just falls everywhere. Yeah, yeah. They keep everyone tripping over their own feet. Yeah, like,
and because she's terrified of water, she's like screaming, like she like really, really freaks out. And Raymond dives in to save her
straight away,
and he pulls her out. But she doesn't even really like register it that much because she's so upset.
Yeah,
and she tells everyone that she saw something in there with like blue hair and a tail. And no one believes her, obviously, because this is like a teen fantasy movie. But then, like, even Haley doesn't really believe her. She's like, oh my God, you got to feel Raymond's muscles.
Actual muscles.
It's so cute.
Yeah.
It's really, really cute. But then she's convinced that they saw something. So later that night, they go back there and they drop a gummy worm in the water. Mm. And then it's snatched up by something. And then they realize that it's a mermaid and her name's Aquamarine.
She's quite sassy friends. In the beginning, Aquamarine.
She is. She's very sassy, yeah.
She's like, let's get this straight. I'm a mermaid. Like, really? Like, she's a bit funny and cute and dim after that, but she's real nasty in the beginning.
She's like not anything that they're used to. They're like definitely a little bit frightened of her at first.
Yeah.
And they ask her kind of like what she's doing there, and she said that she swam away from home, and that's why the storm started, because her dad calls the storm because he's so angry.
He's Neptune, I guess.
Yeah, exactly, something like that. And she ran away from home because she was supposed to marry. She's supposed to marry a hideous merman.
Yeah, in 3 days
or something. And she wants to prove to her father that true love exists, or she's going to be forced to marry him
because she's seen it on like two people, which we'll find out who they are later. Yeah.
Love doesn't exist in mermaid world. You just have to marry who your parents tell you to.
Mm, yeah.
So they tell her they'll come back in the morning or something, and they like go to bed, then they get up in the morning and they can hear people draining the pool outside. No. So they freak out.
Yeah, freak out.
And then they run down there, but Aquamarine's not there. She's hiding in like the beach house thing, and she's naked and she shows them her bum.
That's kind of funny.
It is funny. She's really excited to have a bum and legs because she can have legs in the daytime if she's out of the water. But she's never tried it before, so she's really excited to have legs.
Yeah, it's not really explained how she can just suddenly walk. Well, yeah, they do explain it, but yeah, whatever.
it's just something that the author decided to make up about mermaids to make this film make sense, basically. But if she gets wet, this is very important, if her legs get wet in the day, she's going to have her tail again. They're going to turn back into a tail.
And also she turns back after sunset.
Yeah, exactly. Like Shrek.
Like Shrek indeed, like Fiona. So then they give her a t-shirt, and it's really funny. She makes it into a cute dress, like a cute naughty dress.
It's very unrealistic.
Yeah, but that's like, comedy. That's funny about it.
It looks like it's definitely not a t-shirt when she's wearing it, you know? It's just a dress. But like she turns into this perfect, like one of those dresses that you can wear like multi ways.
Yeah,
you know?
Around the
she
neck.
She does like a different thing with it every day, and it's just a long sleeve t-shirt. It's very unrealistic.
And then they're like, okay, we need to find you someone to love in 3 days. And then she spots Raymond like paragliding. No, what is he doing? Like he's something on a board, but not surfing.
Windsurfing. I don't know what any of those words mean. They could all mean the same thing.
And she's like, him. And then they're like, oh no, not Raymond, not our unattainable crush who's like 6 years older than us. And she runs up to him and she just goes like, do you love me? And he's like, no, but
I think you're really hot.
I think you're hot. You're very hot.
A classic teen boy. And he's so not freaked out by her at all. Like, if in reality, well, in Ireland, if you went up to a teenage boy and said, do you love me? He'd be like, get away from me, you freak. But he's like, I'll catch you later, yeah? I think you're really hot. And then, like, gets into the truck with his boys, but he's, like, waving at her. And it's like, in reality, he would just be like, what a freak.
Funny is also like, whoa, what a lad. Straight from the sea, straight into the shower, straight into the Jeep with his friends. No
shit. I know.
What a man.
No need to change. No need to even dry off.
No.
That's the true surfer dude, life.
Sporting, showering, in the car, off to the party. Yeah. Yeah, funny.
Beach life.
What happens next?
So then they basically make a plan for to make Raymond fall in love with the Aquamarina for the next 3 days. And they know everything they know about love from teen magazines. Yeah. So like Cosmo Girl, J14, 17.
Did you read a lot of magazines, teen magazines when you were young?
Yes, I did. And I actually wanted to have this conversation with you. Okay. So I was going to ask you if you like read a lot of teen magazines, like that told you stuff about how to like nab a boy.
Yeah. Well, not, I didn't have them. I didn't have like a subscription to it, my house. I wasn't that bothered actually. I used to read them at my friend's house and it was a lot. I remember a lot of it being like, this is a big theme in the teen magazines of my time. Mimic a boy's movements.
Oh my God, yes, yes. If he crosses his legs, cross your legs. Yes.
If he reaches for his glass of water, you reach for it. So, what a weird tip. That was repeated everywhere.
I remember that being repeated so, so much as well. Mimic his body language so he knows that you like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite teen magazines for all you British listeners out there were British and Irish, were Ms. I was so, so, so sad the day that Ms. got discontinued because that was like kind of, even before I was a teen, I think. I loved Ms. I really liked Bliss. And my other favourite for music stuff, I don't know if anyone remembers Smash Hits magazine. Smash Hits was like a music channel. Mm. And they had their own magazine. So yeah, you know, all the boy bands and stuff like that in there were
great. To be fair, in Holland we had The Fancy, which was more like a quirky, I'm a clumsy girl, the hunk. You know, it wasn't like Cosmo that's like, this is how you give a blowjob. It was more like...
Okay, that's probably better.
It was more like, ooh, like you've tripped in front of your crush. What now? Mimic his movements kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. No, most I think most British proper teen magazines were like that as well. The slightly older ones were, I mean, I don't think it was more about like your first period than like how to give a blowjob.
Yeah.
I think that's for adult Cosmo. But I did start to read those as a teen, as everyone does.
Yeah, I remember reading The Glamour on holiday with my friend when I was like 15, and it was all like, it was so boring to read when you're 15 because it's all like how to get a promotion or how to dress for a business a cocktail party. You're like, I'm 15, I don't even have my own money to spend on clothes, like what the fuck. And it's all, and then they have like the thing when they do the editorials when they show like fashion, and it's all like 500 euros.
yeah, exactly.
And this is before the internet, so you could Google it. The internet was there, but it wasn't really as much as shopping on the internet, so there's no way. You know what I mean? That was your only inspiration. You're like, well, I can't afford all this cool stuff, right?
Yeah, I know. They definitely made me feel like very inferior.
Oh yeah, but even the
and they still kind of do. Even now, when I read Grazia, I'm like, oh, are other people really like? Do other people really spend £150 on the candle? Like, is that normal? Am I the one that's not normal? Do I manage my money badly because I don't have that much money to spend on the candle?
I can't buy a Jo Malone candle.
Oh, God!
What is wrong with me? I want some expensive moisturizer every month, a new one.
Yeah, exactly.
But even the quirky ones made me feel inferior because they were all about boyfriends. And obviously, yeah, I was so boyfriend. Well, I did have a few boyfriends, but no surfer dude, sadly, or people on a board. So it wasn't that fussed.
Yeah, me too. So because I was so ugly and weird as a preteen before I had like my glow up, I was, which I feel like I talk about constantly. Like my friends know that my life is divided into like two sections.
Ugly Gemma, hot Gemma.
Yeah, it's so true. But like, yeah, I just didn't have like, I didn't even have a crush. Because I only knew like horrible boys and I couldn't relate to any. Yeah, exactly. I couldn't relate to anything.
Yeah.
People would always be like, oh, my crush asked, like in the embarrassing stories pages were always the best. And it would always be like, oh, I went to McDonald's with my crush. And I'd be like, when am I going to go to McDonald's with my crush?
We also had we had two magazines that were like non-gendered. Hitkrant, which means like the hit newspaper, and The Breakout. And they were for teens, but boys and girls, and they were full of sex.
That is so progressive. I don't think there's anything for boys and girls in
the UK. I think HitCon nowadays is more catered towards girls. But in the beginning, it was just like music. And
like Smash Hits.
Yeah, The Breakout had this middle page of two naked people. That was a big, you know, we'd pass it around in primary school and have like, but then we found out, and it was also like, it was always like this interview with the two naked people. And it was also like, my boyfriend was very controlling, so now I've dyed my hair pink and I'm posing naked, like I'm so free. And then there was a big scandal, like a few years ago, that they were just like random Polish people that they found. It wasn't like people, it was just random pics of naked people. Like, it wasn't real interviews.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh my God, that's crazy. I always did wonder how many, like, how much of teen magazines are real. Like,
probably
the embarrassing
nothing.
Stories. And,
oh,
like,
the embarrassing
problems.
Stories probably
like, they
written,
could just
yeah.
be made up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The interns.
I love the problem pages as well.
But there was also, it was all mad shit. And maybe it was just Dutch. It was all like, I fingered myself with a beefy sausage and now it's stuck in there. What do I do? That was like the...
A beefy sausage?
Yeah. Beefy wurst. Yeah.
My beefy, yeah. Well, I yeah, we had a similar one, but it was like the pen lid got
Was it
got
pen
lost.
Lid?
Well, they might have been different in Holland. In the UK, we were using pens. You were using beefy sausages.
Oh, now I get it. Pen lid. Oh, like an... Okay, yeah. Sorry.
Like the lid of a pen.
Yeah, I'm
came
there.
Off. I got stuck up there.
Yeah, it was just, but like, that's definitely some interns, because even at that, you know, this is, the internet was there. If you had an actual question, you could have like Googled
also,
it.
Also, that is like a very pressing matter.
Exactly.
Like, that isn't like a general life issue. It's like, if something's stuck inside my vagina, I'm not going to write a letter to a magazine, then
see,
wait for them to get the letter, wait for them to publish it and write a response.
Yeah, because I remember...
I'm going to be kind of focused on getting that out as soon as possible.
I remember it clicked for me when there was a letter that said, like, I met a guy on holiday, we've been texting, he hasn't replied in a while, does he not like me? And I was like... Surely by the time this gets published, you'll have an answer. And I was like,
you're going to know.
I was like, wait a minute. She didn't write this. People don't write into this stuff. So.
Heather had the light bulb moment.
Yeah.
And that's when she became a feminist.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Yes. We'll take that. So yeah, magazine. So young girls, if you're listening, skip the magazines. They're full of crap. Don't read them. Right?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like an essential part of growing up. But just take everything you read with a pinch of salt.
A bucket of salt.
I'm still a magazine reader. One of the things I miss most when we lived in Berlin, Heather, was like buying magazines.
Oh, because, really? Because like, she's such a glamorous girl.
Yeah, I love having a magazine to just kind of like, if I don't feel like reading a book, just to, like flip through, you know.
See what nail varnish. I remember when I lived in France.
See what the celebs are up to.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
Nail varnish is hot.
When I lived in France for the summer for 2 months, loads of like British people and Irish people were there on holiday, and they would give us their old magazines, all these mums. So
cute.
But I would only have like 3 to read, like, and also like kind of trashy ones. Just I found out all these goss about like Katie Price, and like also I was, because I had nothing else to read, I read it so, you know, meticulously. I was so up to date on that culottes were in at that stage, and like long maxi dresses and how to wear it. God, I was, yeah, so
you need, so yeah, it's the only way you can become a perfect woman is by keeping up to date with everything in magazines.
You're like, oh, turquoise is a new color, I need to get some turquoise culottes at H&M at the nearest shitty French town. Yeah,
yeah, it really really consumes you. Oh god, I'm not wearing purple nail varnish, no boys are gonna fancy me. This is definitely what they have read too many teen magazines, Haley,
yes,
and Claire,
yeah,
and they know all the
science.
Tips, like mimic the boys'
yeah.
body language, what fluff and retreat,
yeah,
is a tactic that they've learned, picked up from a magazine, which is about like fluffing your hair and then
no fluffing
like,
someone's ego and then
oh,
walking
sorry,
away.
Fluffing your hair. Sorry, I just assumed that's what it was. Fluffing your hair and then working. So, by the way, Ali had made a note that, like, for his master's thing, that this was, like, about, like, the unrealistic impression that the media gives to young girls about love.
Aww.
And, like, young girls being controlled
Aww,
by society's
so
expectations.
Aww,
it's true. That is true.
That is kind of
what it's about, yeah. But, yeah, that's what they're... So they kind of teach her all they know,
and,
even though they've never put these tricks into actual practice.
And it's funny because her being an outwardly worldly creature, she questions it. So that kind of gives a hint of criticism.
Exactly, yeah.
She's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're
she,
meant to...
She's kind of the
yeah.
viewer's voice.
She's like, well, the viewer's voice, the older feminist voice.
yeah.
Future us. She's like, oh, but so you're meant to pretend you're not busy, even though... You're meant to pretend you're busy, although you want to go out with them. That doesn't make any sense. You're like, that's right. That doesn't make any sense. Did you?
Yeah.
When
yeah.
you were young, did you also have like, or maybe even now that you're older, like if you text a boy, you have to wait like 3 days before you text him back and stuff like that?
Yeah, but like 3 days, that is so long. I think that was probably more of like a thing when like texting wasn't so instant like it is
now.
Oh
yeah, no, it wasn't.
I feel like now the rule is like an hour or something.
Yeah, no,
you know?
Yeah.
It's definitely shrunk.
It's
a lot.
Shrunk,
but yeah, I remember. I remember like the 3-day rule, but that's from like Sex and the City or something, isn't it?
Oh no, I've never watched Sex and the City. Sorry.
But it's definitely referenced in a lot of like 90s and noughties rom-coms. Like, oh, 3-day rule. Like, you have to wait for 3 days before you can call
him.
The guy. Or yeah. Not even text.
No.
God, yeah, when you had to like call people, that must have been stressful. Fuck. Anyway.
Moving back to 2006.
Yeah, back to 2006. They teach her how, like, what they do when they have a crush on boys, which I never did, which is
stalking him.
They call him, and then when he answers, they hang up. Like, apparently that's a very common thing for girls with crushes in America, so American listeners, please let us know if you ever did that to your crush.
I was just gonna say, that's the only thing I know from American movies. Like, I've never done that in real life, but I've seen it before, you know?
But I feel like that's because American teens always have, like, their own landlines in their rooms. And sometimes even their own number.
Yeah.
Like, their own landline number. So maybe it comes from that. If you did that in Ireland, you'd probably just get somebody's dad being like, hello, who is it?
Sure, Margaret, it's that you. Mad. And they stalk him. I remember my friends doing that to boys they liked who were way older than them. They would just cycle past his house. And I thought that was weird and creepy at that age.
It is a bit creepy, yeah. So they do that. They cycle back and forth past his house a lot. And then eventually she falls off Emma Roberts' bike.
Oh, wow.
And he runs out and puts a plaster on her knee very, very tenderly. And he asks her if she wants to go to the street fair with him or like street party thing or something.
What does she say? Yes? I don't remember. I guess.
Oh, yeah. She says, oh, yeah. Hell yeah. She says yes. And then they go together, and they go on, they dance together to, that song, and then they go to,
the pedal boats.
Yeah.
And they talk about real stuff.
And it's kind of, Island in the Sun, that song. And it's kind of weird because she's like, she seems really dumb. Because she doesn't know anything about, like, the world.
Life.
Like, she's like, whoa, a boat with paddles or pedals or whatever. And he's like, yeah, a pedal boat. And she's like, wow. Like, she seems so dumb and he's into it. So in a way, I don't think it's a very good message to, like, he's like, oh, she's so cute because she's stupid.
He also even says, like, you're not like most girls around here.
Oh my god,
here.
Yeah.
The most problematic line
ever.
Yeah,
there's a classic, not like other girls moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's not a person. She doesn't know what a cotton candy is. She's fluffing against her face. There's a lot of comedy from her not knowing what to do with normal things.
Yeah, exactly. She when they go for a drink, she pours, like, salt in her water glass and then downs it.
Yeah. But he's all like, he's nice though. He's cute.
He's cute. Yeah. He's cute. He's a perfect, like, kind of unproblematic doofus guy.
Yeah, he's sweet. So then he asks her to the big splash, his big party in the end of the week. It's a lot of her rushing back before sunrise, which is kind of boring.
Yeah, that kind of gets old. She needs to rush back to make sure that she doesn't get a tail again.
Yeah, so he's, like, confused why she's rushing back all of a sudden, and these 12-year-olds are, like, egging her on. So he's, like, a bit miffed that she runs off, understandably so. You'd be confused, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Then what happens? She's in the water tower. That's where she hides, not in the sea, because if she goes into the sea, her father will pull her back, right?
I think that's the point, yeah.
Yeah. So, well, then they go to the splash. They have a big shopping montage.
Oh, that's good. That's good. They go to Tampa and they go to the mall in Tampa and they all get their hair and nails done, like me later. And they all get new outfits and stuff for the last splash.
It's funny because they go into a vintage shop and then they're like, ooh, no, this shop's for old people. And then they're like, vintage is considered to be so lame in 2006 in America. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was thinking of you at that moment. I was like, you're like Aquamarine, because Aquamarine's like, no guys, vintage is cool. And then she rips the sleeves off a dress in the shop,
like,
which is that's such
Stop
a movie that. Thing, isn't it? It's like, you could.
Stop customizing stuff before you've bought
it.
They get
one scissors and they're wearing like a totally different outfit.
Anyway, she convinces them that vintage is cool. She even says, like, it's different. Everyone has all the other stuff, which is true, and kind of like my mantra.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, they get these nice vintage. They all look nice. They look great.
They look lovely, yeah, yeah.
Even Emma Roberts has a beautiful sort of 70s like prom dress, yellow, really
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, I loved her dress. She looks great.
Yeah. And they get their hair like at blue extensions, just like Aquamarine. The two bitch girls come up and they're like, look, it's the grandma parade. What?
Okay.
Who wrote these like disses?
Like, I mean, they're 12 and you're like 18, so
yeah,
you really
stop
shouldn't
fucking
be.
Bullying 12 year olds.
But yeah, and Aquamarine says, like, I'm going with Raymond to the last batch. And they're like, dream on. He's going with Cecilia. Yeah, that's the mean girl's name. And they're like, oh my God, what the fuck? So then I think they go, Haley and Aquamarine go home so that Haley can comfort her. And then they have like, they talk about love or something. They have like a big like opening up about love. But in the meantime, Claire cycles to Cecilia's beach party that she's having pre the last bash. And this is so brave. Like she goes in there to confront Raymond about not like going with Aquamarine in front of all of these like older teens.
18. Yeah.
I would never do that.
I would never do that. She's like, how dare you, Raymond? How dare you treat Aquamarine like this?
And the whole film is supposed to be that she's like a baby because she won't go in the water. But like, this is far scarier than going swimming.
Ballsy. Absolutely. And then he's like, yeah, but she has a boyfriend. And then it turns out Cecilia told him that he has a boyfriend. And then Cecilia is like, okay, someone throw this girl in the pool, please. That was just really horrible.
Yeah,
and then
she freaks out and like, because she's scared of water. And then Cecilia's like, oh, she's just looking for attention. And then Raymond's not
horrible.
Happy. And he leaves with Claire and goes back to her house to make things up with Aquamarine. But she's in the bath. Then there's the, like a funny
Eating
bit
Ben
where
Jerry's.
JoJo has to like fall into the bath pretend so that she can put her legs over the side, which she did not have to do because she could have just hidden her tail under the bubbles.
I know. Bless JoJo going the extra mile. Like.
Yeah, exactly. She had to take her pants off for that. Then they go to the last splash together, right?
He has a lot of slow-mo moments, Raymond. I just realized. He's a lot of slow-mo bits of him like taking his shirt off and running.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well,
it's because he's like such a classic teen hunk. But all the 12-year-olds watching this were like, hubba, hubba.
Hubba, hubba's like, om nom 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 nom. Like, no one ever says.
I know, it's so cringy, isn't it?
Anyway, so they have a really nice time dancing. Her dancing's really funny. Like, I had some proper laugh out loud moments.
Yeah, she doesn't know how to dance either. Yeah, there's some good bits. There's also
a bit she's crying. She's like, why is my face leaking? And then I thought that was really funny. And then it's midnight or like sunset again, so she has to go. She kisses him on the mouth.
Oh, I actually, I just realized that I wrote in my notes that Raymond does one of the best slow-mo double takes in the history of film. Like when she comes onto the beach and he sees her and then he looks back, it's like they're doing that game where you throw water balloons between you and like whoever it bursts on is out and it just bursts all over him and he's just like, whoa. Looking at her, it's great. So great.
She looks amazing. She has lovely curly hair.
Yeah,
she looks like her outfits are something that I would have liked to wear in that time, you know? Beach queen.
Yeah,
you know?
She is. She,
lots of blue.
She's literally
a
beach
like,
queen.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a mermaid.
She's a beach queen. Yeah. So when she leaves, they have a great time at the party. She leaves again abruptly, kisses him on the mouth, and he looks like he's never been kissed on the mouth before.
Maybe he hasn't.
Don't you
I
think?
Mean, they're teens.
He's like, whoa. That's how his face. He's like, whoa. You know, he looks so baffled. So they cycle her back to the water tower. Cecilia is sus and drives up in her pink car, a cabrio. Goes after, like, Cecilia finds out she's a mermaid, but her friends have driven off.
Yeah,
back to the party.
She climbs up the water tower to see what's in there. And her friends, like, ditch her and go back to the party in her car. And then she...
Bit rude,
yeah,
right?
Very, very, very bad friends. Like, that is a horrible thing to do to your friend. I mean, I know she's a bitch, but, like, stealing her car and abandoning her, that's, like, terrible.
Yeah, it's not that nice. Yeah.
So they drive back to the party, and then she rocks up there, and she's, like, too, like, excited to even be angry with them. And she's like, she's a mermaid. Aquamarine is a mermaid. And they're all like, oh, my God, like, you're fucking crazy or whatever.
Yeah.
So then she goes back there and removes the ladder.
The lather.
Yeah. To prevent her from getting down. Oh, because I think she hears... Actually, maybe she doesn't hear them, but Aquamarine has told Raymond to meet her at 9 o'clock the next morning on the pier.
Oh yeah, Raymond, to tell her, for him to tell her that she loves her, so she can stay, yeah, or like whatever.
So she's hoping he's going to say that.
He has to love her.
Yeah. But and then the next morning, her dad's a news, like a local newscaster, so she tells him about that when she was running, she heard a girl. Like screaming up in the and crying up in the water tower, and that she gets her dad to like bring his like news vans and stuff, and like the firefighters, and she thinks that they're gonna hook Aquamarine out and expose her, but as it transpires, Leonard, who is like the guy we were talking about earlier, the kind of lurch character, who's like Claire's grandparents' handyman, has helped her in the night and like got her to safety,
Because he's actually a good guy. And then she grants him a wish and he finds true love.
Oh, because there's these weird scenes throughout the film of him, like, researching mermaids.
He's got his big old book.
Yeah, yeah. Because he finds her necklace or something in the pool. Yeah. And, like, instead of just being like, oh, a necklace that could belong to literally any girl who ever swam in that pool, he's like, this is a symbol, and he like searches for the symbol in like a really old book, and then he's like, ah, mermaid. Like, okay,
better help her out.
And then the next morning, she's late to meet Raymond, but she runs to meet him and she asks him if he loves her, and again he's like, no, I don't love you, but I really like you a lot. Like, he's still not weirded out unfazed by the fact that she's like, do you love me, after like 3 days.
He's like, but hey, don't, because she gets really sad. He's like, are you crying? And she's like, yeah, apparently I leak. And then he's like, yo man, don't cry. I don't love you, but I like you. I could love you, you know, but we've been on one date, so voice of reason.
Yeah, pretty, yeah. Yeah. Raymond's keeping it real.
He's such a nice guy. Is. Yeah, bless him.
Celia
comes up and she's really angry, and then she shoves, Aquamarine in
she
the water.
She pushes her into the water. I guess she knows she's a mermaid, so.
Yeah.
But she kind of realizes that she kind of like is very much confronted with the fact when like they see Aquamarine's tail. I'm like, Raymond is like not that, like.
No, he's not phased again. Phased. He's a cool guy, cool server.
Yeah, he's just like, whatever, man. So this chick's a mermaid. That's cool, I guess. and then what happens? Oh yeah, then the storm
then
starts because she's falling.
Storm
comes.
Neptune's
angry.
Yeah,
he's pulling her back. So she's hanging onto a buoy, and then like Claire and Haley have to jump in and like swim
like
to her
to save
and then,
her
and then,
from Neptune.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know how they think they're.
And funny
do that.
Was like
that is actually crazy. Like there's an this was the most annoying bit, right? So yes. Emma Roberts hasn't been in the water, any water at all, for the entire film because she's terrified of it. And she decides to jump in with Jojo when there is literally a massive storm raging with such a strong current. Like, it would be, I would not jump in there. Like, it's so dangerous. No. Like, she apparently can't swim. She would drown instantly. Like, it's so rough.
I know. So stupid. Funny was getting really angry. She's like, they're gonna get her? It's storming! Stupidest idea
she's
ever!
A mermaid. She doesn't need help. She's got a fish
tail. That's Neptune. You're gonna die.
Yeah, it's so dumb. But anyway, they make it to the buoy, and like, it's like, Claire's conquered her fear. We forgot to tell the little cute story about Claire's parents. Do you want to tell it?
Well, whatever. We need to get to the end, but you can tell it.
Okay. Well, there's like a moment during the film where Claire and Aquamarine have a heart-to-heart about love, and Aquamarine says that she knows that love exists because she saw it on two people who were out sailing their boat called the Claire de Lune, and it was Claire's parents who drowned, and that's why she's so afraid of water. So, just a little tidbit for you.
And she reacts, she's like, that was my parents, and she starts crying, and then Aquamarine's like, oh. They did really love each other.
Yeah, she's
that's a weird
like,
reaction.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's so weird. They're at the buoy. It's storming. And then Aqua is like, why are you so stupid, Rose? Why are you so stupid?
Yeah.
No. They're like, why'd you do that? Like, that's so crazy. And then the girls are like, well, I would do that for her. And, you know, she would do it for me. It's because we love you, Aquamarine. And then the storm stops.
Because
it's That's true love. Friendship.
True love exists, and it exists between friends.
It's jumping for your friends into a massive fucking storm, which honestly, Gemma, I don't think I would do for you. I'm sorry.
I would not jump into that sea for you. Sorry. That's like, no, like, sorry. Like a death wish. But
we're not getting any wishes from mermaids anytime soon, are we?
But seriously though, like, it's just, it's such a wholesome ending. So they decide not to use their wish to keep JoJo, like, in Florida, because, like, she realizes how much it means to her mom to be able to go and do this research somewhere else in Australia, actually. And they say they'll use their wish for something else, which might be going to visit each other in the future, which is so wholesome. Yeah. Like, so it's nice. Such a nice, sweet ending. So Aqua goes back to the sea, but she says that she'll come and visit them, like, some other time. And she tells Raymond to meet her in Fiji. And
He's like, he just pedals so late. He's like, Aqua, on his like pedal board, and then she jumps onto the surfboard or whatever, and he's like, oh, yeah,
they,
cool.
Sorry, they would have drowned if they were waiting for him. This fucking guy, it took him ages to get out there.
He's
a
lifeguard.
Be a lifeguard, yeah.
You suck. He's so not fazed by the fact she's a mermaid.
I know.
He's like, whoa, cool, man. He's like, so when are you gonna resurface? Like, I don't know how to ask out a mermaid. God, chillest guy in the world,
like,
eh?
Yeah, I know. It's so normal to him. Oh.
And she's like, well, like, we can meet up at Fiji. So that's quite nice. She doesn't stay for him. It's not that.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
She only knew him for 3 days.
Exactly.
So.
That's kind of good as well. It's not like unrealistic. The movie is, it's mainly about friendship, which is so nice.
So
like,
nice.
I saw like a review that said this is the best film about female friendship ever made. And honestly, can
really
you think
is.
Of a better one?
No.
It's really so good. It's so wholesome.
Maybe Wild Child.
Yeah. Wild Child is also. Yeah, Wild Child is. Emma Roberts. She's not a good actress, but made some good films about friendship. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed this film. It's such a wholesome watch. Like, you just come away from it feeling really like. Just.
Apart from the fact that Doofus guy comes out of the beach, thanks JoJo and whatever, and gives him a kiss on the cheek. That's a bit weird. Could have just hugged him.
I know. And they're like swooning. They're like, oh my god,
Raymond. I guess it's meant cutely. I'll take. Funny was weird
it is,
out,
it,
but
no,
I was
it's meant
semi.
In a cute way. I don't think there's anything unwholesome about Raymond.
No. Yeah, he's not squeezing their boobs or whatever.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That would have been
a
real
you,
weird
I'm gonna
aftertaste.
Give you each a squeeze on the boobs.
Oh my god. Okay, let's do bingo.
Yeah, let's do it. Trips over?
Yes,
like
everyone
said,
trips over.
So much tripping over.
No one knows how to stand in this movie. Do some yoga, learn how to balance. Christ.
Dead parent? Yes. Claire has two dead parents. And JoJo has an absent father. So there is no Hollywood dad. So
no.
Sexual assault? No way!
No,
this is like
God,
the most
no.
wholesome teen movie of all time.
Lovely stuff.
Mean Girl Redemption? No.
No.
Cecilia.
Luckily, she doesn't deserve
is a
it.
Fucking sociopath. She's not even just a normal mean girl.
No, she's
like,
way worse than
anyone. She locks someone in a tower and then pushes them into the sea.
Yeah, she's horrible.
Yeah, she's awful. Blanket heteronormativity?
Yes,
although there is a bit where Claire says all the girls in town are into him and even some boys, so slight reference.
Is it a waft of homosexuality?
Dream bedroom. Claire's
yes.
got a really, really nice bedroom, and she's got a lovely like bathroom in
fish.
It as well.
Yeah.
Makeover scene. Yes.
Yes.
The bit in the middle is really, really fun.
Vintage clothes. So quirky, right?
Crazy Teen Rager? No. There's, I wouldn't call The Last Splash a Crazy Teen Rager, to be
no,
honest.
No, that's like loads of family funds or old people.
Yeah. Annoying Sibling? No.
No.
Prom? I guess The Last Splash,
the splash could kind
of count as
maybe half
a
point?
Function of prom. Yeah, maybe half a point. You're throwing away your dream? Yes. So Raymond says, like, oh, my dad just wants me to go to college, but I just want to, what does he say that he wants to
travel.
Do?
Travel the world.
Just go
surf.
To Fiji, whatever. So yeah, thanks for that, Raymond. And there is no quirky male friend that I can think of.
No. Raymond? I mean, Leonard? No.
I don't think we can call him a friend.
Creepy. Yeah.
So it got 13 and a half. I actually thought it would get more, but there's none of the older teen. There's no edgy teen stuff, and there's no rager, there's no sex, there's no, like, it's just a nice, wholesome family film.
Lovely watch. And what a lovely watch.
Yeah, really, really lovely watch. If you, like us, remember this film and haven't seen it in many years, I would recommend sitting down, a Sunday afternoon with a cup of tea.
Oh, man.
And a pet. Mm. Just very, very wholesome times.
Yeah, if your boyfriend's read the book and made a whole essay, get him to grab it and, like...
He'll be able to analyse it for you in ways that your little woman brain won't understand.
With that, I think we should say bye. Thank you for listening. Could you please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts? That'd be nice.
Yes, please do.
Maybe drop a hint of what you'd like us to discuss in the review.
And also let us know what your favourite episode so far has been, because we'd love to know.
Oh yeah, that's good as well. Okay, well thank you. Thank you, Gemma. Thanks, Aquamarine. Thanks, Jojo, for being in this world, honestly.
Thank you, Jojo, for our lives.
It's time for us to leave. Get out.
Okay, bye everyone.
Bye.